discussing the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Alrighty. Sounds.
Oh, that was good. Keep going.
Good to me.
That's too quiet. Do it in the microphone. Yay!
Yeah.
Those two extra voices you hear that you've never heard before are my two sons.
Are we starting?
Do 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 do. My two sons.
I'm confused.
No, you're talking. It's an old show.
We're not old like you.
Like you know, like from the '60s.
Exactly.
That's older than you are, Brandon.
This is the 21st
what are you talking
century?
About?
Anywho.
I feel like I'm not that old.
Yeah, Dave unfortunately is out again, and so my twins, Peter and Isaac, have agreed to step in.
What are you talking about, Brandon? I've been here the whole time.
Oh, hey, Dave. I didn't see you there. You look like Caleb.
Oh, well, you know, I'm wearing his skin.
Gross.
Anyways.
Do I have to sit through this?
You're in here now. So,
yeah. You're the one that wanted to sit in the chair and be on the podcast. You got to be here for the whole
Actually,
thing.
Actually, Dad kind of put us on the spot.
Oh, well. You lied to me, Brandon. You told me they were so excited to be here. These youngsters, these next generation.
Yeah!
Because I wanted you to be excited.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they recently jumped into the world of Indiana Jones, and I remembered that you, Caleb, had talked about it, I think, in our first episode, one of our favorites episodes, and I thought, you know what?
That was the first one.
Maybe that would be a good movie to talk about.
I'd be down with that. It is a movie that I think everybody should see at least once, and actually I think people should see it more than once because it's an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so what did you think of it, Peter and Isaac? What did you think of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It was good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you like about it particularly?
I don't know.
The action?
I mean, what
romance?
What about the movie made it good?
No. Okay.
Was it fun? Was it entertaining? Did it hit you in an emotional level?
I think it was good because one, what's the actor's name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One, he's Indiana Jones. And two, it had lots of different
suspense.
It had action, romance, entertainment.
Yeah.
It had a good amount of all of them.
It wasn't just an action movie or just whatever. It had several. It was a mixture.
Michael Bay should take advice from this movie.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
You scared me when you started that sentence.
Oh.
It's like,
Michael Bay should redo Indiana Jones.
No, that's
everybody
okay.
dies.
Explosions with every whip crack.
Yep. Every time he walks, there's an explosion.
Apocalypse.
And dinosaurs.
For some reason. Yeah.
Hey, so guys, with you being a younger generation and you're used to modern movies, did it... how do I ask this question? Did it feel old? Like, did it make the movie any less good, the fact that it was made, like, 3 decades ago?
No,
except for the fact that it's not 4K, but you have to accept that.
Oh, gosh.
No CGI.
It's got to all be in 4K.
But
real blood, people.
It's not even that violent of a film.
It's not.
A guy got grinding in the airplane room.
That's true.
That was one of my favorite parts as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too. It was really cool. Okay, dead air. What were we asking? What were we talking about?
The age of the movie.
Oh, right.
And also, now I'm confusing the two. See, I knew that would happen.
Because they saw Raiders and Temple of Doom pretty close together,
like,
and now they're
within a week
mixed up in their heads.
Yeah. Well, inside Peter's head. I just have to remember the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
One's a dark-haired woman, one's a blonde-haired woman.
So Raiders of the Lost Ark starts out with Indy in Brazil, I think it is. Or Peru, actually. I'm sorry, Peru. Mm, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's trying to find the idol, the lost golden idol.
Mm-hmm.
And he is with Dr. Octopus, is the Spanish or the Peruvian who is trying to lead him through the maze.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
And then he gets sidetracked and almost dies when his archenemy Belloc comes over with the native Indians and that almost kill him. And then he flies away on his plane. And
also the professor, the other guy dies.
Right, the other guy dies, but who cares about that guy?
Traitor.
Yeah, because he's a traitor.
Mm-mm-mm.
But yeah, that's how that one starts. And then Temple of Doom starts where they're in that nightclub and there's a big shootout.
Nightclub!
And love so Obi-Wan. Weird.
And Data is in it.
That's true. Data from Goonies is in that one.
I haven't watched Goonies yet.
I haven't watched
Goonies. You haven't seen Goonies? You need to talk to your parents.
What?
Oh, what?
I should.
You also That's need to really listen to
fact,
the Film Twits Goonies episode, which isn't out yet.
Except
I just remember.
We haven't.
Actually, well, it'll probably come out before this one.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think about that.
If you haven't listened, go listen to it, because it's wonderful.
Check out the Film Twits / the Goonies.
Back to our episode.
Oh, I forgot. I was going to start the episode by saying that we're the Film Twits, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and please say hello.
Well, when you edit this, you can put that at the beginning.
Okay.
And now, but now it's already at the beginning, so you just contradicted yourself.
That's true, so
maybe it'll be in both places.
All right, so let me ask a question here to the boys. Did you think that the film was, for the time period and the content and the rating of the film, did you think that it was over the top?
No, I think it was, like I said before, pretty evened out.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much and not too little.
Even with the melting Nazis?
But it's melting Nazis.
It's Nazis.
That's true.
Any violence to Nazis is fun.
Okay. Stop.
World War III.
So by your logic, any movie that kills a Nazi should be rated G for general audiences.
Yes!
Okay.
Teach the world about how bad.
Oh, what am I doing to these kids?
I know. What are you doing, Brandon?
See, this is why you can't watch The Goonies.
Yeah.
Because it has Nazis that get killed?
You're telling me that you're not ready.
Anyways.
The very beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark had the guy had a spear in his head.
Oh, yeah, from the wall?
Oh, yeah.
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 With real blood.
Yeah.
Which was referenced in Endgame when War Machine and what's-her-face, the blue robot lady.
Nebula.
Remember when they got to the, when they got to the temple or whatever that had the orb in it?
Yeah.
And the door opened and he said, he was all scared and he was like, oh, this is the part where a spike wall comes out of the wall and...
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler alert for Endgame.
Speaking of Endgame, if you have seen the two older peoples, three of the older peoples, Endgame episode, Dad mentions his mastermind son told him
about the nebula theory,
and that was me.
You are the genius.
This is where you applaud.
Yes.
Good job, genius son.
Okay, so back to the movie we're talking about, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Not Endgame, Dad.
Come on, guys, we got to stay on track, just like every single Film Twits episode.
This is derailing faster than a regular episode. Yeah. So you didn't think that the violence was over the top in this film?
You could say, like, if you were a mom, for example, who was a then you could say that it was violent and it's not for little kids. But I mean, little kids should be taught violent. No.
Oh boy.
Don't.
I waited until you were 13 before you could see this movie.
Well, this movie did come out at a time before they had the PG-13 rating.
That's true.
It was, I'm sorry, no. The second movie, Temple of Doom, was one of the was one of the reasons that they made the PG-13 rating because of the heart scene.
Yeah, that was. Like, before we watched it, our dad said that it was, like, weird. And then we watched that scene, and we're like,
it's weird. Okay.
Yeah,
that's not what I expected.
There's some pretty weird stuff in Temple of Doom.
But it's a cult, so it must be weird.
And cults
makes sense.
I think that's something I've always liked about Indiana Jones, is those surprise, like, way...
Over the top.
Out of left field, over the top things. Because... you think that it's just an adventure movie that's, you know, more or less set in the real world with this normal guy.
But you're wrong.
But, yeah, and then there's, like, the power of God that melts Nazi faces and a dude that pulls hearts out of people's chests and...
Yeah.
It's true.
It's something you don't see every day.
If you touch the... Okay, when you touch the Ark of the Covenant, you were consumed by fire.
Mm-hmm. You die.
So it's not actually...
It's a biblical movie.
It's not, but... So...
It's rated
It's G not
now,
super...
Because it's a biblical movie.
It's not super out of this world. I mean, it really happened, but...
Yeah. Yeah, just like a...
Did they
I don't know, their own take on the supernatural.
Yeah, that's right. They took the top off,
right?
Yeah,
he opened it, he opened it, everyone
And it was all
died.
Sand. That's right.
This is a free plug. The soundtrack
plug
show.
Time with Bryn.
the soundtrack show podcast. He did an episode recently with about Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he pointed out. I guess I've heard it. I just never really paid attention. But there's actually a little theme that goes along with the Ark or the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. He points out when it pops up, and it kind of adds, a spookiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a pretty interesting episode. There was a lot of tidbits.
Yeah, the music is very foreboding, because it plays with the eeriness of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I really enjoyed about Raiders of the Lost Ark was the characters that they introduce. Like, Indy is great. I think that Marion Crane is one of the better heroines that we've had in the longest time out of film. Because she can take care of herself. She's not a by-the-books damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
But she still has that... not fragility, not innocence. She still needs to. I don't know what the word is I'm trying to think
like
of. She's
be cared for.
Yeah, sort of like that. Like, she still needs love from Indy.
Yeah,
but she's not to where it's not like what's her name in the second movie to where she is a complete you know. Female, damsel in distress.
Yeah.
She's completely helpless throughout that whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why a lot of people don't like that movie is because of her. even though I really do enjoy Temple of Doom. But Marion's a great character.
Yeah, and real quick her, it's interesting to me that, mm-hmm. like, you know, right now where there's such a push for strong women characters, mm-hmm. like it's a new idea, but there's plenty of movies, you watch old movies like this that are 20 or 30 Aliens. Years old, and they've got a strong Terminator, female character.
Raiders. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of movies that has been throughout Hollywood's history where they had strong female characters and it wasn't made into, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't an agenda. It was right. just, that was the writing.
That's her character. Character. Yeah. Oh, Jinx.
Tron.
And also real quick, what?
Tron also.
In Tron?
Yeah.
Who?
Korra.
Oh, the newer Tron, yeah.
Yeah, Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
I have to rewatch that. I've only seen it once.
On Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And you can get yeah, it and now the original. For only $7 a month. Please don't sue us, Disney.
Oh, gosh.
Another thing on Marion, real quick before.
We're not sponsored by Disney Plus.
or anyone.
I have this thing about. I don't like it when they want to overdo somebody's backstory, you know, like with a Solo movie or something where I like with Marion and Indy, there's clearly history
there, yeah.
and it's complicated mm-hmm. and we don't need to see everything that came before. You are, you know, it's shown that there is a history there.
Yeah.
And you're just picking up at this point. And I like that. I like the unspoken history. It like right off the bat, it makes them more interesting.
It's better when you do that because to over-explain a character a lot of times takes away the subtle mystery of the character.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, in the case of Han Solo, let's not leave this trilogy. With Indy himself, we know just enough about him, but it's not like thrown in our faces. Like
we don't need an origin story.
Right. He never loses his mystery or his charm because we are not like force fed his entire history. Some characters you want to do that with and some characters you don't, but I agree with you. I feel like it's the better approach to not over explain a character.
And then also like how, somewhat off topic, like right after he goes from escaping on the plane, he goes straight to teaching in class. Like, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
is this the same guy?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, the glasses and...
At first I was confused.
Yeah.
Like, wait. Oh, yeah, he is.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, he's an archaeologist and he's a professor of archaeology. I mean, you know, it makes sense that he would make that his day job. But it is sort of a... It takes you a minute to register it. So I do agree with you there. But going back to the characters of this film, I loved John Rhys Davies as Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Just a carefree, you know, just helping him because he's his friend. I just really enjoyed that. And that's another thing is that I didn't need to have Solo's whole backstory. He's just brought into the movie. And from there, it's just good old John Rhys Davies.
And I love every time he breaks into song.
Yeah, yeah. His song breaks are always fun. And
I think my favorite is when she kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell he was not expecting that. And then Belloc. Belloc's a great villain.
Mm.
Because it comes off as very odd at first too, where a Frenchman is working for the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they didn't really, they kind of clashed during that time frame, but, it just shows you how greedy and the kind of depths that this guy will go to get what he wants. I mean, he's working for literally the worst people on the planet at that time. But yeah, it's got really great characters. The thing that I really enjoy about Raiders of the Lost Ark, looking back at it, is just how pulpy it is, how it feels like those old, like, you know, adventure stories from, like, the early, you know, like, Disney used to do a lot of those, where, like, the Davy Crockett movies and, like, the Treasure Island stuff. Like, it's been a long time, recently anyways, since we've had a good, like, adventure film that gave you that kind of feeling. Yeah. The 80s had a lot of those properties, and just, I mean, the 90s had some, maybe, but it's been a long time since we've had something that was similar to this.
That's true.
Same sort of feeling, you know? This is kind of going on what I was listening to today, which was the soundtrack show. What did you think of the music, boys?
You mean the soundtrack show or our soundtrack episode?
Oh, that's right. The soundtrack episode. Sorry. I said the wrong thing.
So if someone would go to Spotify and look up Film Twits and they find the pod or the soundtrack episode, that's the episode you're talking about?
Yes, that
And it was...
That
would you say that it was really good?
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Would you say
I
that people
it.
Should go find the soundtrack
no.
episode under Film Twits,
you know,
and listen
I
to it?
I would say that no, maybe not if you have an hour to spare, you know, maybe give it a listen to.
Maybe. Probably not.
You know, whatever you're into. But anyways, so what did you guys think of the music?
Music was... I mean, like, usually the first time I watch a movie, I don't really, like, pay attention to the music.
Mm.
Which is why we need to rewatch it.
Mm,
and
yeah.
find all the extra stuff that we've been talking about.
That's true.
Now be aware that if you slander the music, you're slandering the great John Williams.
See, exactly. I didn't say the music was bad.
Well, I didn't say you did. I'm saying if
I will.
If you were about to, then anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
And you guys were kind of familiar with the music already from the Lego Indiana Jones
yeah.
game.
Oh, nice. That. Yeah.
What we didn't when that was like when we were like 4. So
oh,
I remember that.
Okay.
Really.
Oh,
I remember clearly. I remember the chase through.
Brandon remembers it.
Was it India?
The things I do remember.
Where they were digging in the town. When
in the mine part?
Egypt?
I?
Was yeah, Egypt. If it was okay, digging, yeah. it was in Egypt.
Yeah, it was when, like, she was captured and
yeah.
he was going after mm-hmm. her.
Yeah, it was in Egypt.
That was. I only remember mm-hmm. the part where it's a boulder rolling after you.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
Being super angry at a trash keyboard because the button wouldn't work.
Oh, that stinking keyboard. I think I broke it more when I threw it across the room because it wasn't working right.
No, and you're like slamming on the keys.
Yeah, you're like crushing the keys.
Well, sometimes with a keyboard, if a button isn't working, you slam it harder with an angry fist and then it might work.
No, that's a...
Might, yeah.
That's
might.
A 60s TV.
Possible.
Gosh, what? Dad, get it right.
A 60s TV?
Yeah, you bang on it.
Yeah, take it.
Oh.
Well, you got to play with the rabbit ears first.
Oh, yeah. Snap them off.
Yeah.
Easier.
I mean, nowadays, it's basically all they're good for.
I interrupted Peter when he was thinking of how to describe the music.
Yeah, what were you saying, Peter?
Would you say it's music. Exciting?
I know
like,
what...
it's not, like, super over the top, like, oh, the sad part. We should play a
yeah.
sad
yeah.
song.
It wasn't...
Oh, the crazy part!
Basically, yeah. what you're saying is it wasn't trying to manipulate the scene.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like the music was controlling it. It
mm-hmm.
was controlling
mm-hmm.
music.
Very good.
Come on, Michael Bay.
It's very astute.
Stop talking about Michael Bay!
Michael Bay doesn't make music.
Yeah.
So you can't hurt my feelings with that one.
Well... At least she accepts the music. It makes it as loud as it is.
That's true.
Well, now, I would argue that the music from the Transformers movies is pretty good.
Yes,
are you,
it is.
Are
it
you,
is.
Are you defending Michael Bay?
The music
yeah.
in the Transformer movies.
Michael Bay is not horrible.
He,
yes,
he
is.
Okay,
Brandon loves Michael Bay.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
Michael. Well, I'm just filling in
back to Indiana Jones.
No, I'm just filling in for Dave.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I see
that's
what
I was
doing.
Yeah.
Okay. But you gotta have an English accent if you do that.
And well, now I'm back and I hate my...
No, gosh. Nope.
That's Australian.
No.
All
right.
That's
Australian.
Cut that.
Once again.
Cut that.
Oh, going that's off staying. The rails.
No, cut it.
Okay, I promise I'll cut that one. Try it again.
Crikey.
Now he's Australian?
I'm so excited.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. So what else can we talk about?
What are we talking about? Indiana Jones.
We're talking about the music.
Yeah.
So yeah, the whole like the aspect of the movie where he's, I don't want to say mystery, but where he's got to find the different pieces. Like, well, the whole reason he went to Marion in the first place was to get the medallion.
Mm-hmm. So he can find where the Ark is located.
Yeah, the scene in Egypt where he's got to find that room so that he can use the staff and figure out where it's actually buried. Like all those, you know, that part of his story where he's figuring out the puzzles and finding
so many
the
great set pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just feel like,
oh yeah,
that part where he's like finding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit too like.
It's a little slow, reveal, is that what you're like, trying to say?
I feel like he finds clues too easily.
Oh.
Like,
oh. Hmm.
So.
Do you have an example?
Like, the room where, like, the little miniature city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just messing with the staff and stuff. It just.
Well, but he had the instructions, like, he knew what to do. It wasn't like he was, like, fondling around to try to figure out, like, where it was at, especially. Like, he had read the inscription and knew that it was going to be whenever the sun shone.
At that time of the day.
That time of the day.
I just felt like it was a little bit too perfect.
You felt like it was a little convenient.
Yeah.
Okay. That's honestly, that's the first take I've ever heard of that. That's very interesting.
Other than that, it was
for Harrison perfect. Ford.
Did
for
you
Harrison
think
Ford, everything's convenient?
Did you think that throughout the whole movie, or was it just that one scene?
No, it was just that one scene. Everything else was like
okay, yeah, because some people, especially nowadays, would say that if things are convenient for the characters, if everything starts coming to them so easily, that means that the character was written as a Mary Sue.
A Mary Sue.
Yes. So a Mary Sue, like I said, is a character that everything works for them. The plot basically bends over backwards to make sure that they win. A good example of this, you know, not to drudge up old dead horses, but Rey in Star Wars is a Mary Sue. Everything happens good for her. Everything works for her.
Actually.
She doesn't have any problems. She doesn't have any issues. Like,
actually, there's a book that has been made by Star Wars, like that Star Wars, like basically not says, but it's canon. It has backstories like of things that happened to every like Poe, mm-hmm. Rey, and Finn,
uh-huh.
And actually Rey, she in the story, she has she actually has friends. Amazing.
Aww.
No, but and then so they like find the ship and so they start building it and so she thinks she's able to go and then but then they leave without her. And then like so lots of, and then other stuff happens. Than that.
Interesting.
Sometime we should do episode about
lore.
Well, I guess it's not. I guess books aren't films.
But it's like lore for films.
The Star Wars.
I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but it is kind of odd how Disney tries to fix their mistakes with those films by putting it into lore into other extended materials.
They do tend
that
to do
is
that.
That's
true.
Not something that you should. Make necessary for your audience to watch the film, but also read a book and read this comic and see this TV show and, you know, check out this lunchbox. Like, I mean, that's asking a lot. Put it in your film so that we know what's going on. Don't, try to fix it in the end, like, after the film comes out. You know what I'm saying?
No, because
I don't want to go off on a tangent on Star Wars. We can do that later, but I'm just saying.
Except for me, I just, like, I can't really find, like, at the library, I can't find books very easily, but Star Wars books are usually good, so that just gives me something to read. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the other side of it. Like, you know, it can be fun that there's this extra pieces of, you know, books or whatever it is to go along with the movie that you love. So you feel, you know, like it keeps the fun going and it's a bigger thing that you get to have fun with. Mm-hmm. So there's that side of it too. But yeah, at the same time, I agree with you, Caleb.
Tell your story.
If it's because something in your movie didn't make sense, you shouldn't have to write a book to fix it.
Exactly. But I don't want us to get on a tangent with Star Wars. I actually want to go back to what Isaac was saying about the...
Mary Sue?
The Mary Sue, yeah. So like I said, did you feel that it was convenient for him the whole way through the film, or was that just that scene?
I just feel like the whole thing with the staff and like the light, the sunlight shining mm-hmm. through the little glass thing, just felt like it was too easy for Indy. I felt like there was something else.
I can see where you're coming from, and like, I actually don't remember. Was he in the room for a long time, or did he just happen to be there at the correct time of the day?
It was a little bit of time, and like, he was fumbling with the rope and stuff mm-hmm. to get down mm-hmm. into it, and etc. So
it was a short scene, if I remember. So right,
except it's Indiana Jones, and it's a great movie. So
well, no, and that's that's cool, and that's a good observation, and you know, even. Let's agree with him. There, you know, there's parts in the movie that are kind of easy for him. They also counter that though, and there's things that kind of surprise you when it doesn't mm-hmm. go well for him. Mm-hmm. Actually, that scene ends with it not going well for him. Like, but and
by the Nazis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I like too because it was. Oh gosh, how do you explain it? When he, I think it was after he rode the submarine, mm-hmm. when he got to their place, and he was hiding behind the box, and the one bad dude was walking by, and so he grabbed him and knocked him out and took his clothes.
Mm-hmm. And this is the second one?
No, it's in the first one.
Clothes didn't fit.
But yeah, he stands up to put on the uniform, and the shirt was too small, and that was like a... Rah, rah. Because that's kind of a cliche thing you see a lot in action movies.
Where they
and so,
knock out the person and then take their clothes
So I would also say there's a handful of those throughout the movie, too, where it kind of catches you off guard because you expect that it's going to go perfectly for him, but then it doesn't.
It was a good subversion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it goes up and down and up and down. So he finds a medallion, loses it. Gets the medallion back.
Mm.
Finds where the treasure is. Gets captured.
Uh-huh.
Actually finds the treasure. Mm-hmm. Gets captured. Gets put into a pit of snakes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Escapes.
Yeah.
And then there's an epic chase scene with Nazi trucks.
And then also watches Nazis get their faces melted off. Great movie!
Or how about the whole, when he's fighting with that gigantic guy at the airplane. Because he thought they were going to put the Ark on the airplane to fly. And he goes through that whole fight, almost dies. He's worn out. Poor what's-her-face is stuck in the... You know, it's a terrible ordeal.
Yeah.
And then he finds out that it's wasn't even part of the plan anyways. They're driving it
They're driving it away.
So it was all a big... Yeah. It was all for nothing.
And then he's shot in the arm?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he's like... Yeah, okay.
Well, and that's why, like I was saying, those are all the reasons why he's not a Mary Sue, because he does mm-hmm. fail.
Yeah.
Mary Sue's mm-hmm. never failed. They always succeed at everything they do. Indiana Jones fails, like you said. It's a upward slope and then a downward slope. He wins this and then loses that, and wins this and loses
and
that.
I like how it's like, unlike Ray, like, she has a couple of failings, but it's not, like, it's not...
super deep. How is she going to get out of this? Indiana Jones is like that. Captured by Nazis. Thrown to pit of snakes.
Yeah.
Would have to be snakes.
There's a lot of times where it does look perilous, like, how is he going to get out of this? And that's something I feel like storytelling doesn't do a lot recently either. You know, a lot of times you watch something and you're like, yeah, this person's not going to, they're not going to die. Like, it's fine. But back then, like, during those movies like that, they really put them in perilous, you know, dangerous situations where you as an audience member were like, I'm not sure if they're going to get out of this.
Or mm-hmm. you know? And it makes them feel more like a normal person. It's not like watching a Superman character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I would say Harrison Ford plays that part brilliantly. His face and like his fear and uncertainty and all that.
He really gives it his all in this movie.
It's with Hans, when he's at Han Solo also, it's like, it's that same type of feeling, like...
Yeah, which is awesome with Han Solo, because probably more so than Indy, Han Solo is so kind of cocky, you know? He knows he's the best.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, yeah, when he's in a situation like that where, oh, no, what's going on? Am I going to...
I think that's one of the main reasons why I don't like the Solo movie, because... It's not Harrison Ford, so he doesn't have that.
He's just.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like. It doesn't feel the exact same as the character. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Okay, but actually, which came first? Han Solo or Indiana Jones?
You don't know.
So the first one that came out was Star Wars in 1977. Okay. And then Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 1982.
Yeah, he forgot to shave.
And so technically, Han Solo came out twice before Indiana Jones did, because Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980.
Oh.
But yeah, I do agree with you. I think that on your point about his charisma and also how cocky he is, I feel that Indiana Jones doesn't have that. I mean, he does, but it's not as much as Han Solo. I think that with Han Solo, like you said, he knows he's the best in the room at the time. Like, he's like, I'm the best. I'm the cockiest. I can get out of any situation, whatever. With Indiana Jones, he has a goal in mind.
Right.
And that's what he's focused on. That's his focus. Getting the precious artifact.
Yeah, he's not concerned with being arrogant or whatever.
He has that charisma, and that's why he, you know, is attractive to the ladies. But he's not like, a ladies' man, but it's not, he doesn't have that cockiness is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm flubbing it up, but
yeah.
No, he doesn't have the same cockiness that Han Solo does, which is good because that allows him to have multiple different performances and show his range as an actor. But anyways, I want to talk about what is your favorite scene in the movie.
Ooh.
So if the boys aren't ready, then I think you know what you're looking
for. Okay, let's see. I like the airplane.
I love that one. That's a great scene. I love how contained the set of that is, too. It's just that one little tower and then the plane, you know?
Yeah.
Everything else is long stretch of desert.
And the gas tank, of course.
The gas tank. Yeah. I forgot about the gas tank. Which has to blow up. Well, exactly. It's an 80s action movie. It's got to blow up.
Explosions.
And Indy's face, when he takes out, I think it was the mechanic or whatever. Or no, maybe it was the pilot. I guess the big guy was a mechanic, huh? Anyways.
The big guy was the mechanic.
He took out the first guy, and he turned around kind of thinking, all right, let's get this airplane. And he turned around and saw the big guy, and the look on his face like, ugh.
Well, and I love, too, how the big guy's just like, oh, you? Okay. And he just starts doing the fisticuffs.
His old-timey boxer
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And with a mustache?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mustache. It's
a boxer mustache.
Yep. Yeah. Bald and boxer mustache, yeah.
It was great.
I'm going to grow one of those.
And he's shirtless.
And Indy used...
Oh, yeah, shirtless, of course.
Indy used his brain in that situation because he knew that he couldn't mm-hmm. beat that guy with brawn. So he's like, you know what? This plane's doing this 180 thing. I'll just wait until that propeller comes around and...
Yeah.
And not kill myself.
Takes him out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So and that is your... That would be
I
your
think
pick.
I'd probably pick... I You know, there are several, but I think I'll pick that one.
I think for me, my favorite scene in the movie... Like I said, I don't have a single favorite. I have a couple. I really do love the opening sequence. Uh-huh. I think that it is so iconic. And it is one time where a film has an opening scene that tells you everything you need to know about that movie. It's like, this is what you're getting. You're getting adventure. You're getting danger. You're getting exotic locations.
Comedy.
You're getting a mysterious main character. You're getting a little comedy. It's not like super over the top, but there is a couple of comedy beats in there. But yeah, and it sets up the stage. It's like, here's your hero, here's your villain, here's what their goals are going to be throughout the film. So I really do love the opening sequence. I also agree with you. I love the plane sequence, but I think I love more than the plane sequence, I love the truck sequence more.
Yes.
I think that
truck is really cool.
I think it's really good how it's a longer sequence than the plane sequence. And it has some really, really cool stunts in it, like him under the truck, him, you know, fighting that one guy in the driver's seat for dominance of the truck.
Which actually both of those have become cliche for so many movies and shows. And
it's true.
Caleb, it's funny how you said that intro, how it, like, sets up everything, because mm-hmm. that's up at the beginning of Weird Al's UHF movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it actually makes sense.
Have you not seen UHF?
No.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
I know, episode. You guys are Weird Al enthusiasts.
The whole opener is, like, that whole Indiana Jones opener.
Except hilarious.
Except silly.
It's like, his whip.
But I really do love the truck sequence, the opening sequence. I'm trying to think of like another really, I mean, the ending is super iconic because it's, you know, God taking out the Nazis. I mean, I can't think of before that time, some of the more practical and just really mind-blowing visual effects than that one Nazi having his face melted. Like, mm-hmm. that was so, like, intense, and it looked real, and it's because they did it practically, which, you know...
Yeah, they didn't have CGI then, so they had to actually melt the guy's face off.
Yeah, they had to actually melt his face.
Five times. Because they had to record it five times.
Because
the screaming had to be exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They were actually all brothers. There were five tuplets.
Five tuplets that looked all the same.
It's... Pentuplets.
Oh, whatever.
Oh.
But anyways, it's a great sequence. And if you are of the Christian or religious persuasion, then it's a really impactful scene as well, because it shows you the power of God against the most evil sentiments of man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really is not done in most movies. A lot of times they highlight the demonic and the presence of evil over God and the presence of good, spiritual-wise, that is. And I was just glad that in this movie they did the opposite. And I think that's to do because of Spielberg's his Jewish heritage.
Yeah. And it's neat to me because towards the beginning of the movie... Even though it might not be like completely accurate to the Bible, but when they're kind of going through some of the story in the Bible to Indy, and he made a comment like, "Yeah, if you believe that sort of thing," he's clearly not a believer,
right?
And but then at the end of the movie, I think he's kind of shown there actually is a higher power.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's pretty hard to go through that and not have some sort of, you know, belief.
Yeah.
In something like that, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, no movies right now are going to, one, reference the Bible, and two, like, actually have God be a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for, like, actually Christian movies.
Well, yeah, but...
But there are none.
Mainstream Hollywood...
Ashton Kutcher movies?
Actually Christian.
So oh, okay.
Actually Christian.
Yeah.
I was like, Ashton Kutcher. Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Opposites.
So, you remember the scene I showed you at the Chinese drive-thru? And damn!
Yeah.
He was the one in the driver's seat. What about you guys? Do you have a favorite scene?
Okay.
Yeah, what would your favorite scene be, guys?
I don't know. Like, the two chase scenes, the one in Egypt with the... Where he's in the town where he's, like, desperate to find...
Oh, my gosh. When she was in the basket?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that whole part of the movie. Yeah.
And with the truck... Like kids.
Bad dates.
You know, talking about that scene where he's trying to find her, like, if you think about it, it's kind of funny. It's a pretty dire situation. You know, she's gotten stolen. He can't find her in this strange country. But the music was kind of comedic.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. During that sequence is one of the best scenes in the whole movie is when the sword wielding guy comes out of nowhere.
Do you guys know the story about that scene?
I don't know if you should
inform them Caleb. Oh, yeah, okay. Fun.
So, all right. So basically what was happening during the sword scene where Indy shoots the guy when he's swinging the sword at him. It was during that day on set. Harrison Ford was having some bowel issues, to say the least.
He had a rumbly in his tumbly.
Yes, he was not feeling great. And so they say play, and basically that was completely improvised. He was supposed to, like, pull out a sword from somebody and fight him, and Harrison just like, I'm not doing this, and he pulled out his gun and shot him.
So I like...
In real life,
like, just get out of my way.
Yeah, it was fake.
He actually shot the actor.
He was fake because it's movies, but he shot him instead of doing what they were gonna do.
I think it's funny how
they kept it.
Gun was actually still the same gun that he usually uses to do fake shooting, and so he's like, get out of my way. I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, shoots him.
Yeah.
That was actually real. I didn't know
it's
that.
A fantastic scene, and it was completely improvised.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love that scene. Another scene we haven't really talked about, and it's a pretty substantial scene, is when they actually go to get the Ark. Like, when they're inside the pit.
Yeah.
With, like, all the snakes and everything.
That's my other favorite scene.
It's a pretty good scene.
It was funny because, like...
Remind me.
The one where they got captured when they were snakes? Digging. And then they got lowered in there. And there was a bunch of snakes. And he and...
I can't remember her name.
Marion.
Yeah. They're, like, trying to find a way to get the Ark and get out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting eaten by the snakes. Well, that's mainly Indy's...
Well, yeah, because Indy's scared of snakes.
And she's, like, screaming the whole time.
Well, yeah, I would be, too.
Yeah, a room full of snakes.
Hundreds of snakes around me. I don't think I'd be in a good place.
And they did that same thing in the second movie.
That's true.
Well, that I really don't remember. I haven't watched that in
spiders?
Years.
Spiders?
It was bugs. It was just
tons of foreign bugs.
Oh, that's yeah. Right. Yeah.
Scorpions and spiders.
I got goosebumps watching that scene.
Snakes, if I was watching something with snakes, then I'm fine with, like, or something like that. But bugs just freak me out.
And I like, in the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, they were just in the pit of snakes, and they left, and that's it. And then in the second one, Indy and Shorty go in that room, and they, like, realize that's bugs, and they go in that other room, and then the blonde-haired lady, forget her name, comes in there, also realizes it's Bugs, but freaks out.
Woody? Mm, yeah.
What's her name? Woody? Willie? Willie. That's Willie. It. Willie. Yeah.
What about you, Peter? You have a favorite scene?
My favorite scene was... My favorite scene... Come on. We gave you all this time. Yeah,
I had something I wanted to bring up about the snake scene and use this time to figure out your scene. When Indy and Sala go down there the first time to get the Ark out, on one of the pillars, you see an inscription. You see a bunch of different hieroglyphs. One of those hieroglyphs is C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yep, I saw that.
Funny. Okay, you did see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
What scene spoke the most to you?
I seriously want to like take that really literally and be like,
well, which scene had the most words?
Well, they all had talking in them. I mean, there's a lot of talking.
What about scene in where was it? The Mongolian mountains when they go to meet her for the first time.
Oh yeah,
in her bar.
Yeah. See.
I thought that was a great scene.
Yeah, personally. That was good. But like, whenever I'm picked last to do a favorite of something from something, that was
really you always random. Blank.
That was really random. Like everybody says all what the ones I think of, so when I say them, it's like
you're just copying everybody else.
Yeah.
You can do a repeat.
I like that scene and that scene and that scene and like all the other scenes.
What is your favorite scene of all the scenes we've talked about?
That's a ton.
What's your favorite of the favorites?
Well, dang it. Now I want to change my favorite because I like all of them.
Probably either the beginning or the...
End.
Plane.
The plane.
Fighting the dude. Yeah.
That,
Except it was violent.
I can't remember his name, but the Nazi guy, he was really cool, too.
Nazi.
The one who says "Hail Hitler," the one that gets the
with that the glasses,
guy was awesome,
yeah, with the glasses, yeah. And his scene with Marion was really funny too, because once again it was a subversion. He pulls out that what looks like a torture right. device, and then flips it, and it's a hanger, and he just puts his coat on.
Yeah,
that was great. But yeah, he was really intimidating. A really good. Secondary bad guy other than Belloc.
And then also like the I also like how movies like for example Captain America, they go with World War II or World War I, which
World War II.
That was World War II. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so like yeah, it's the Germans trying to get something that gives them more power that'll make them win.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Cosmic Cube and the Ark. Which
like is a supernatural
I mean one of them is more realistic than the other one. Like a cube that...
A cube? A glowing cube?
Yeah, a glowing blue cube.
That can banish you.
And onto a place. I'm not going to say what place it is.
Spoilers. Send you to a planet.
Far, far away in a galaxy. Wait.
That's Star Wars. That
a long time ago.
In a galaxy.
Anything else we can talk about with this movie? I feel like we've...
It's
basically pretty much covered it all.
Yeah. Okay, but
what?
Was it just me? It's funny how you brought up Captain America. Was it that guy with the torture device hanger? Was he the same guy that was in Captain America? He looks exactly like him.
He looks similar.
Except taller.
He would be much older by the time Captain America came out.
Oh, duh.
See? Like, Indiana Jones has done so well, you forgot how old it is.
Because, like, it's not. Yep. It's the same time frame. So I'm like, it's the same time. But it's not.
You know what? Yeah. He's right about that. There's a lot of Captain America. I'm sorry. There's a lot of Indiana Jones in Captain America, the First Avenger.
Interesting.
And, like, there's a lot of stuff from Indiana Jones in other movies. Like, I feel like.
Well, that's what people do. They something comes out and it's really popular or it's really, you know, mind-blowing and everybody tries to do their own ripoff of it.
But now
that happened with Star Wars. That's happened with Indiana Jones. That's happened with Jaws. There's so many Jaws ripoffs. And it's just something that happens.
Now all of these movies are like not like if you watch the new movies, the more modern movies when you're a kid, mm-hmm. they have those stuff. When you watch the older movies when you're more grown up,
yeah,
it's like a cliche that you that you've already seen.
Now you've seen it a bunch, yeah. So when you see the original,
like it's nothing new.
Yeah,
like, that's why
I don't even know what the people in the theater that watched the Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, that's why parents out there, you should start them early and let them see those movies.
And that's why I mean, so with movies like Indiana Jones, you know, I had to wait until you were older. But yeah, that's why I've always. Included in the mixture of stuff you watch is old stuff, because I want you to experience that too.
Golden oldies.
Before like you're burned out.
Love Bug.
Yeah.
We good. Just recently watched that again. I know.
When was it?
No, we watched it once.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, we watched it the other day. It was really good.
Today's Thursday, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I mean, do you have any
final thoughts?
Indiana Jones
and Raiders is of the Lost Ark.
I like Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones is my friend.
Yeah.
Or like, I want to do the second one now because Shorty's awesome.
Turn around. Yeah, because also in the first one he's like kind of by himself, but in the second one he has a.
He has a sidekick.
Yeah, he has a. Little.
Aside
to. I can't wait for you to watch the third one. The third one's great. It's my favorite of the three.
Like, oh, it's your favorite?
It's a yeah. cocky
it's my
kid
second
that's...
favorite.
Behind
prefer,
Raiders.
Yeah, I prefer Raiders. Yeah.
I like Shorty because...
I take all your money.
Because he's more cocky than Indiana Jones, and so he's like, tired of him.
Yeah, whatever.
That's funny.
I take all your money. You have no money. That is funny.
So I think... Just wrapping up what I would say about Raiders of the Lost Ark is I think that it's one of the most influential movies of all time. I feel like it stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it has any substantial issues for it. That's the first time, like I said, that I had heard someone... say that he may have, you know, learned things pretty fast, and like that's a contrivance or a convenience. Yeah. And you know, the way that he presented it, I can totally see where you're coming from, but mm-hmm. I don't think that it has any substantial issues to really take away from it. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I've watched it probably in the tens time.
Wow.
Tens time. That sounds weird. Whatever I'm trying to say. Tens. Like, I've watched them in the tens, probably like...
In the teens?
12 or... Yeah, thank you, the teens. I can't talk. And I just think it's... I think it's a really great film. I do. I think that everyone should watch it. It has that sense of adventure. It has that sense of excitement of a time that is... now long gone. I'm trying to wrap it up in a good way, kind of like put a bow on it, but
yeah, the music could have been better.
Yeah, the music's awful.
John Williams. Ugh.
No, the music is fantastic. I hear, and I think we said this on the soundtrack episode too, but the minute I hear that theme, I'm immediately in that zone. So I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. Talking about it actually tonight has made me want to go home and
watch it for a 14th time.
Exactly, yeah.
I had to watch it a second time.
So,
yeah, we will.
So much
to catch
fun.
Up.
We will, and we'll do a Temple of Doom soon, too. Well, Peter, Isaac, this has been fun.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is there a book of Indiana Jones?
Yeah, I was like thinking.
Is there a book?
No.
Yeah, because it feels like it should...
I mean, if there is, there might be a novelization of the movie.
You might want to Google it.
It feels like is like level of Lord of the Rings, where there's a book, and then they make an awesome movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, no, no. It was just a movie.
Yeah, it was an original story.
Mm-hmm.
Which nobody does anymore.
That is true.
That's very true.
Adam's Family.
They actually made a they made a video game about it. It was called something Atlantis. It came out in like the early 90s. It was a computer game.
Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Did he go to Atlantis?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he found Atlantis.
Huh.
Yeah.
I played a video game of Indiana Jones one time. So it's called Lego Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost
Ark. Lego Indiana Jones.
Okay, so there's one book that's Raiders of the Lost Ark because of the movie. There's this whole series of young Indiana Jones, and he's like this, I think like 10 or so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and they're like really old. And there's also Temple of Doom.
Oh, you know what? I just remember there was a TV show.
There was a TV series.
I forgot
in the
all
90s.
About that. He was like young a teenager Indiana Jones. Or something like that.
Last Crusade.
Yep. Well, y'all should check those out.
Yeah.
If y'all are interested in Indiana Jones. And if you, dear listener, are interested in the film twits from our conversation, then check us out on all social media, Facebook,
Twitter,
Snapchat, Pinterest.
Instagram.
Instagram.
There you go.
Do we have an Instagram?
All of the
above.
No,
you don't.
We actually don't have any of those. We have a Twitter, we have a Facebook, and we do have an Instagram, but
we don't
really do anything with it.
But yeah.
But that will all change. We're in a process of building our brand, so keep listening to
us.
And it's been a pleasure for you, of course.
It's been a pleasure for us.
And if you don't go to our social media page, then we will come to your door.
It's been a pleasure for us to have Peter and Isaac here with us today.
Yay!
I bet it has.
It has. Stop. It's been a great pleasure. And we were happy to have you. I'm sure Brandon would agree. I guess not.
Yeah, you were okay.
And anyways, that's about it, right?
Yep. Yep. So, thank you for listening, and look us up and look for future episodes.
Wait.
Peace out.
Can we appear to the film twits thing?
Yes.
Three, two, one.
Film twits! Ding!